Through email and phone calls this past week, I probably received 10 different prayer requests. Shows you what can happen in a week. Some of them are some issues that have been around for a while. One of them came up very quickly. Those of you who know Tony Jones, his former brother-in-law, went into the hospital with exactly the same thing Tony was in there with, and within 2 days, died. And so, you know, same song, second verse. Here we need to remember the Jones family, the extended family, again, because of their loss this past week. John and Carol's niece is going in for some tests this week. And her name is Kelsey, and we need to remember Kelsey this week because this is one of those life and death kind of situations, again, that she's going into the hospital. 21 years old. Of course, John's sister, we need to continue to pray for her. She battles for her health, for her life. And it goes on and on and on. I've tried to include them in the bulletin this week, so if you can, you know, take note of those. But we need to be praying more rather than praying less because there's more needs. I mean, unemployment rate up getting close to 9%. There's a lot of people in need of prayer. And that's our bailout. You know, we don't have millions and billions of dollars to throw at these problems. Our bailout is to pray. Pray for these individuals. Pray for our country. Pray for our church. Because if you are a Chronicles of Narnia fan, I believe Aslan is on the move. Aslan representing Jesus Christ. I believe things are beginning to happen in our world that are telling us it's time to wake up. It's time to hear the message, time to hear the call, it's time to wake up and let God do within us, within our church, what he has designs to do. And so as we go to prayer this morning, I just want to lift up those prayer requests that we've mentioned and many, many more. So let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for again this week bringing us together. I know there's other places we could be today, other things we could be doing. But you set this appointment. You invited us to come, and I just thank you that we have responded to that invitation today and that we are here to be with you. Thank you for all the good things in our lives. We don't live in a total world of gloom and doom. We see the coming spring. We see the sunshine and all the birds that have found their way back to us. The songs of the birds, the flowers that are beginning to come up. God, there's so much beauty, even in this old sinful world. And yet we can't even imagine what you have in store for us when we get to the next life, when our fight, our journey here is over. God, thank you that you have called each one of us, that you have given us the invitation to experience life with you forever. We honor you and praise you and thank you for that. And yet you've encouraged us, you've invited us, you've challenged us to come before you with boldness, with our needs and our desires. And this morning, Lord, we do just that. We come before you with those names that we have mentioned, those names that are on our prayer list, and we just pray that you would be very close to each of those individuals. It seems that the majority of them represent some struggles with their health, some of them struggling for their very lives. And so I pray this morning, God, that you reaffirm in their minds and their hearts that you are real and that you love them and that you are there by their side, intimately connected with them. You just wrap your arms of love around them this morning. Give them a sense of peace as to what lies ahead of them. And those, Father, who are represented by relational issues, I pray that your healing touch may touch those relationships and again restore them to oneness. Those who have financial issues, God, may you touch them and let them see a light at the end of the tunnel. Even in these hard economic times, God, that there is a way that you can bring them out of the mire of debt and financial struggles. For those who are here today, God, I just pray your blessing upon us as we we go to your word and we address that question that was asked 2,000 years ago to Jesus himself when Pilate said, "What is truth?" As we embark on this series, God, I pray for a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us that we can understand what truth is. And may that truth set each of us free. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And that is what we are going to embark on over the next few sessions together, the next few weeks. What is truth? It's kind of interesting as you generationally ask that question, because to different generations there are different answers. My parents' generation, I believe truth was whatever the parents said. And you did it because they said it. And then all of a sudden, that generation started coming along and said, "Ha! Prove it. Why?" We start questioning. And what we're going to discover this morning, that God is okay with us questioning what truth is. There's a quote that I absolutely love, and I really want you to take a look at your own lives this morning and see if this is you. The quote says, "If you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll keep on getting what you always got." And that is financially, that is spiritually, that is relationally, that is everything. If you keep on doing the way you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten. So if you're ready for a change this morning, I want you to keep your mind and your ears open. Because what we want to share with you over the next few weeks will change your life, will change your perspective. Now, technology is failing me again, so I may be asking my Mac expert, Jerry Hines, to help me out here, because I had these piggybacked, and this computer was not supposed to go to sleep, and it did. So it's got the dual screens. How do I get to the other screen? Let me try this. Okay, please watch this clip from The Matrix.
Let me give you one piece of advice. Be honest. He knows more than you can imagine.
At last. Welcome, Neo. As you no doubt have guessed, I am Morpheus.
It's an honor to meet you.
No. The honor is mine. Please, come, sit. I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole,
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
We're not going to offer you any pills today. But we're going to offer you some truth. And I believe once you hear this truth, you can't go back. Now, it's kind of an incredible clip to go along with what we want to talk about, because I think that description, that dialogue, fits with us very well. We are enslaved. The world has been pulled over our eyes so that we cannot really see what is important. Instead, we see all this stuff out there that's there to distract us from reality. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And there it is. Pilate asked, "What is truth?" John 18, verses 36 through 38. I want to give you the premise this morning that truth is progressive. Now, think about a child, and you'll get the understanding of what I'm talking about is truth being progressive. A 8-month-old does not know, cannot do what a 3-year-old can do. And a 3-year-old does not know, cannot do what a 10-year-old can do, and so on and so forth. They progress in the truth. And spiritually, truth is progressive. Paul says it himself. "You know, I can't talk to you as mature Christians because you're still on milk." And so we progressively learn spiritually. And so you are getting the graduate course this morning on what is truth. And so if some of this doesn't make sense, I want to encourage you to pursue it, because this topic today is a direct result of a small group I sat in this past Tuesday evening. And I want to tell you again, encourage you, if you are not in a small group, you need to be in a small group. That's where the real blood and guts of the church happens, is in a small group. That's the church really at study. I mean, this is great. I have some of your attention for about 45 minutes. But in a small group is where we really get down to the nitty-gritty. And Tuesday night is where this topic came to be in my mind, where we were doing this discussion, and some of you were there. And so I'm kind of stealing from what the assignment was for next Tuesday night, because the question we left with was, what is truth? So I'm giving my small group right now, I'm showing my hand of what my answer will be Tuesday night. And so if anything piques your interest from what we talk about today, I want to invite you to this Tuesday night small group at Bob and Ann's. And my intent is to have this group grow so big that we can't fit in Bob and Ann's anymore, and we have to start a second group, and then we have to start a third group, all dealing with the same topic. John 14:6, Jesus answered and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the most obvious answer and the most fundamental, foundational answer that we can come up with. What is truth? Jesus Christ. And so whatever we talk about, if it isn't of Jesus Christ, it's not truth. So let that be our anchor point. Let that be our foundation as we go through this. Our next text is Romans 1:25, where it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. So one of the terms we're going to use throughout this series is, that's kind of an outside-in kind of deal. When you start focusing and you start lusting after, you start holding in higher regard, I think I'm on in the monitors too, maybe you can, no? When you start holding the created things out there, the outside as being more important than what's inside, you are dealing on an outside-in perspective of life. And that's not the Christian perspective. And so, and stay with me this, because again, this gets kind of, it will be crystal clear by the time we're all done with this whole thing. Because we cannot allow, and those of you who have seen The Matrix, you understand that what Neo was experiencing day after day was not reality. It was a pretense. It was false. And when we get caught up so much in things, it's not reality, because those things aren't going to go to heaven with us. Those things aren't going to get us to heaven. That's all exterior things. It's what's in here and here that we need to focus on as Christians, and we'll clear that up as we go along. Our next text is 2 Corinthians 11:10. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Where is truth? In me. So we're talking about, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The truth in Christ is in you. And so we start dealing with what's in here rather than what's out there. Now, I don't want to say that what's out there doesn't affect us. Okay? It does. But how we relate, how we react, how we respond to what's out there is what is critical. Because if what is out there holds more attraction to me than what is in here, then we're on the wrong road. And we'll never be satisfied. We'll never be contented. If you suffer from discontentment, that's one of the reasons. You're focused out there. You're not focused in here. And so when that becomes more important than what is in here, we're on the wrong path. But understand this, the Bible makes it very clear that Christ, the Holy Spirit, God, they're three in one, is in you. And this text says that truth is in you. So when I'm walking down 4th Avenue, downtown Olympia, when I see you, what am I looking for? Am I looking for the truth in you? Am I looking for God in you? Or am I saying, oh man, look at that spiked hair? Am I focusing on the outside? Because it taints my picture, it taints my perspective if I let the outside pull the wool over my eyes and I can't see what's in you. John 17, verses 16 through 18. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. In this church, we believe this is truth. And we believe from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation that this is truth. But is there truth outside of this? Oh, quick trick question. Oh, grasshopper. Is there truth outside of Scripture? I hope so. Of course there's truth. And you know what? There's not a week that goes by that I don't learn some degree of truth from you. And I'm sorry, I haven't seen Larry's name here in Scripture. So he's not in the Bible, but yet I learn truth from him all the time. Those of you who don't know Larry, he's probably one of the most positive people I've ever been around. He teaches me truth. And so I can see and I can find truth in each one of you because God is in you. The truth is in you. And when you allow that truth, when you allow that God to shine out of you, to show forth out of you, and sometimes, you know, you don't feel like it, then it's still up to me to see it in you and not make those judgments on the outside that mess it up. And this was our scripture, and this is probably the pivotal text for what I want to talk about today. From 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 30 years ago, this guy over here, Jerry and I, we had a saying between the two of us. Do you remember what it was 30 years ago? It's gonna burn. Yeah, it's going to burn. That gorgeous house, it's going to burn. That $150,000 motorhome, it's going to burn. And we've got to focus on those things that won't burn. The things that are eternal, and the things that are eternal are what you hold inside of you. Your character, your personality, your relationships, those won't burn. Those are the things that you're going to experience in a purified form on the other side. And so if we're chasing that golden ring for the sake of trying to get as many of the toys as we can get before we check out of this life, why? Who's getting the toys when you check out? Not you. You're not taking it with you. The pharaohs and the emperors of China prove that. But the relationships, the integrity, the character that you establish here on this earth, those things you take. So what things are unseen? And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but these are the things that are unseen. Have you seen wind? You see the effects of wind, but do you see wind? No. How about the air you're breathing right now? Now, maybe in LA you might see the air, but air, not pollution, not smog, air, you do not see. Do you see the personage of God? No. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You see effects, you see results, but you do not see the individuals. Angels. Now, some people claim they've seen angels. I've seen the effects of angels. I've worn my guardian angel out a few times. But I've not seen my angel. I've not seen heaven. I've dreamed of heaven. But I've not seen heaven. I've not seen eternal life. Because I've not seen these things, does it mean they're not real? Of course not. If there was no air, we would all be dropping dead within seconds. Because we do not see them does not mean they're not real. How about Christ in you? Do you see Christ in others? You know, it's unseen, but do you know by faith it's there? When you walk out of here, do you know by faith that you're walking out with Christ in you? And that gives you a very unique perspective, a very unique power in this world. Because if you watched the rest of this movie, The Matrix, it changes Neo's world. And he no longer ever sees things the way he used to. He sees what is real and what is not real from then on out, because his focus has become clear. His focus is pinpoint, and he now understands what is truth. Again, all the truth in the world is not found in the Bible. We can find truth in each other. We find truth in nature. You can find truth in unbelievers. First Timothy 2, verses 3 through 5, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Now, does this scripture say to be saved to understand the truth? No. Does it say to understand the truth to be saved? No. We're talking two separate issues here. He wants everyone to be saved, and in addition to that, he wants you to understand the truth. And the truth is, this is where it counts. Not out there. This is what's real. That is not. Because that out there is not going to last. And so he wants you to understand the truth, because it will change your life, it will change the lives of those around you. Because when you understand the truth, you're not going to be so subject to addiction anymore. You're not going to be subject to those things that drug you down. And he puts it this way. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. You see, truth is from God. Therefore, whatever is true is of God. And so when we look at Philippians 4:8, that says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Or if you take the yellow up there, whatever is true, think about such things. Let's stop dealing with the peripheral stuff. Let's stop dealing with the artificial stuff. Let's deal with what's true, what's in here. Because there's an enemy. And the enemy is Satan. And in John 8:44, here's what Jesus had to say about him. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. There is no truth in what he tries to spin your way, what he tries to give you. Whatever that temptation, that addiction, whatever that thing is that he's trying to give you as a hurdle or to entrap you, there is no truth in it because he is a liar. So, as we go through this coming week, I challenge you, whoever you work with, those in your family, I challenge you to look for what is unseen. I challenge you to put this text into your memory banks. Fix your eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And to understand that that is what is seen is just temporary, but the unseen is eternal. And see what God starts to show you in other people. See what God starts to show you in yourself. And, wow, I didn't lose my patience so quickly that time. I didn't respond in anger as I have in the past. God begins to work more and more within you, so that you start focusing more on here and here and let this control that rather than that controlling this. Now, the Matrix takes it much further because as Neo goes through, he can figure out that walls, height, none of that stops him from doing what needs to be done. And he figures out he can control all of that out there. Well, if that were true in my life, we would have about 120 days of sunshine in a row. But what is true in my life is I don't have to moan and groan and complain about 15 days of rain in a row anymore, because what's in here is in control of my response to what's out there. And that's the journey we're on. And it's easy to stand here and say this. It's easy to encourage you to try out this lifestyle. I'm telling you right now, it's a whole lot harder to do. But it is doable. Inch by inch, step by step, it becomes more doable the more you try. When you focus on the inside, when you focus on the realization that Christ is in me, and I'm not going to respond in the old way, because if I respond in the old way, you know what? I'm going to get the same old results. And the Holy Spirit works within you and starts pointing it out more quickly. You know, that doesn't work. That didn't work. And you start backing up and going, whoa. And pretty soon you're catching yourself before you take that erroneous step or bad decision. Dealing inside out. Now, we're going to continue this next week. And I'm going to tag team this series, because the person who facilitates our Tuesday night group has a lot of passion about this particular subject. And if you get around Bob Schieffer when there's a lot of passion coming out, I either had to let him get up here or he was going to burst. And so next week, I'm handing off the baton to Bob. But I'm going to be here, so I'm not going anywhere. And Bob is going to take this another step down this journey. Please understand that this life is a journey. And that's kind of, I think that's what we even named Tuesday night. Join us on our journey. It's a journey. And when we come together and take this journey together, interesting things start happening. So again, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, at Bob and Ann Schieffer's. And when we get too big for there, we'll announce the second place, the second facility that's going to house another group. And pretty soon, I just envision we're going to have one in Tumwater, we'll have one in Lacey, maybe one on the west side. I've got interest even up in the Puyallup area. So we may even get a group going up there. Because people want to change their results. And people are tired of trying to do it themselves and getting the same results. And so people who have even no understanding of Christianity or who God really is, they're interested in this small group because there's a change offered. People are tired of being controlled by the outside. And so if you have Tuesday nights available, I just want to encourage you to join our Tuesday night group. And having said that, those of you who are visitors here, you picked a great day to come and visit. The old gym doesn't always smell like this. In fact, it usually has a different smell. But there's some food that's been cooking back there. And I know that they expected me to go a lot longer this morning, but that's okay. I knew we had a lot of things to do. So what I'm going to do as we end our time together here is I'm going to also offer a prayer for the food. And when it is ready to be served, then we don't need to stop and bless the food because it's already blessed. And we know that, but we're going to do that anyway. We're going to bless the hands that prepared them. So I just want to encourage you to be with us for the next few weeks as we go through this series, as we examine truth, because as Bob and I sat there and started talking about this, it kind of leads us to another question, and then it leads us to another question, and that's this journey. It leads you to other questions, and it's just, I can't tell you enough what a great experience it is to be going through these questions with other people. And those of you who were there Tuesday night, you know what I'm talking about. So let's pray. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. As we leave here today, that is our foundation. Because anything outside of Christ is going to be temporary. Your word makes it perfectly clear. And so we want to realize today that Christ is in us, because your word says it so. And that we can grab hold of those eternal truths, those things that we'll be able to take from this world with us, and let those be developed within us through Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit. Again, I just want to thank you that you've set us on this journey. And God, I just pray that others will want to jump in and join on this journey, this discussion, as we discover what truth is and the other questions that rise from that, as we are able to see what your word has to say about them. Again, it is our foundation. It is our anchor. Lest anyone worry that we're going to go off on some tangent. out in left field. Your word is our anchor because your word is truth. So, Lord, I just pray you'll go with us as we leave this place today. But before we leave, we ask your blessing upon the food that's been prepared, that you bless the hands that have made them. And that means even the hands at Safeway or Fred Meyer, whoever prepared this food, God, I pray a blessing upon them. And please bless our time of fellowship together this afternoon. Thank you for this time to be together. And I just pray that it all may be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a great day, a great weekend, and Lord willing, we'll see you here again next week.